I have a testimony. I'm going to have Isabella come up to share. You know, one of the things we've been talking about is helping people to grow in their walk with the Lord. Come on up, Isabella. Yes, welcome her. And her sidekick here. What's up, Lorenzo? How you doing? Awesome. That's a great one. Isabella recently joined the church. We're excited to have her and been talking about having her come up to share a little bit of why she got involved, but also just so we've been talking about groups. She's been in Michelle's group and just hear from them all the time, just what a great time it's been. So I asked her, I was like, could you share a little bit your experience on being in a Bible study, a small group? So she agreed, so I'll let you go from here.
So is it working now? Good. Is it working? Yes. Good morning, church. So as you just heard, I'm Isabella, and this is my son, Lorenzo. And I believe you have probably seen me around with my husband as well. His name is Roger, but he's not here today. We've been attending Radiant Church for the past 10 months. I got baptized here back in April, which was a true blessing. And just recently, me and Lorenzo decided to join as a member. And the reasons to join as a member are many, really. There are many things that I like about Radiant Church and that makes it a good fit for me and for my family. But there are two particular ones that are very dear to me. The first one, of course, is because the gospel taught here is solid. It is centered in the Bible. I feel that the passages are not taken out of context. It is not sugar-coated in any way. I think we get here the good, the bad, and the ugly. And it's definitely not prosperity gospel. So that's the main reason for joining. The second reason is because I love the sense of community that we get here. I think it's a very special and very rare thing, especially these days with all of the huge churches and even the mega churches that have so many people that it's very easy for you to go in and out without ever being noticed or without ever being able to engage in a conversation with anyone. Before I landed here at Radiant Church, I have visited many churches. And I can tell that at none of them I have experienced the level of community that I experience here. So to me, it's a very, very special thing and definitely one of the big reasons that made my decision to join the church. But before I decided to join the church as a member, and even before I got baptized and not too long after I started attending Radiant Church, I have joined a small group. As Pastor said, I have joined a small group and it's been a great experience so far. It is my very first Bible study group. And initially, I just thought that it would be great to learn more about the Bible. So that was my main focus, learn more about the Bible. And even though I was being a newbie to Christianity, that was very much needed to learn more about the Bible. And even though I was super eager to learn more and to join a group, there was also somewhat of an anxiety. And it was a bit of intimidating because I knew that I was going to have to sit down with people that are much more knowledgeable of the Bible than I am, that know a lot more. And I would get to be the one person who is always looking for the books in the Bible, who doesn't know how to pronounce a lot of the names in the Bible. Surely these things came to be in our meetings, that they did happen, that I had to be looking for the books and I didn't know the names, how to pronounce the names. I remember there was this one time that we were meeting and we were looking at this passage and I was asked to read the passage and I had to pass on reading the passage because when I looked at it, I saw all of this super weird names, city names, and people's names. the sorts of Habakkuk. You get what I mean. So I had to skip it. I couldn't read it. And it was kind of embarrassing, really. But my friends in this group, they're much more knowledgeable than I am, but they're also so very kind and so patient with my newbie limitations that it turned out to be just okay. And this initial fear and anxiety around being the dummy one in a Bible study group was just nonsense and a waste of time. So it's been a great experience, and this group has also quickly become a huge emotional support for me, especially because I don't have in my circles a lot of people that are Christians that I can come to share my stuff. So having this group to be able to share life stuff and share it from a Christian point of view, which you can't really do with everyone, and then get their feedback and their response from a Christian perspective, it's really special. It's been great. So I only have good things to tell about this. It's working tremendously well. Last but not least, I feel that I need to tell you where we meet and when we meet to complete my sales pitch, or it wouldn't be a sales pitch and I might get in trouble with the bosses here. So we are a ladies group, and we meet at the church office. We meet twice a month on Fridays, and we meet the first and the third Friday of each month, and we meet at noon. So if you live in the area and you have a lunch break at noon, or if you live or if you work in the area and you have a lunch break at noon and you would like to join us to feed more than just your body, to feed your soul, that would be wonderful. We would love to have you. And if this group doesn't work for you, we have many other groups, and they are all wonderful.
Yes, yes, thank you. Great job, great job. Great job, Lorenzo. Awesome, awesome.
Now he can go up.
Now he can go up. He's ready to go up to this class. Oh, man, it's so neat just hearing just God work, the ordinary things of the Christian faith, being in God's word and being in relationships with other people. And when you do that, just so many neat things happen. And it's also neat just thinking about as we grow in our walk with the Lord, we want to help others that are where we once were. And so just trying to get that into the discipleship groups that we're doing. And so when I came to faith, it took me about a year before I go to Bible study and actually bring my Bible, because I was scared people would ask me to read something that I wouldn't know how to read. So if you're in that place, you have fears, concern, come talk to us. We'd love to talk with you on those and help you get connected. All right, we are going to turn our attention to God's Word now. And I'm going to have Marie come up so that she can read the word for us. Come on up, Marie. You can read from the microphone here. Hopefully it will work. And why don't you just tell us where you're from as well.
That's so cute.
I've been doing it with Isabel. But
all right. I'm Marie Claude. I'm from Cameroon. And I have been in the United States for almost 8 years, so yeah. Today I'm going to read Matthew 25, verses 14 to 31. Excuse my accent. I'm going to read loud so you guys can you can hear. For it will be like a man going on a journey, will call his servant and entrust to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the one talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled account with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will say to you over much. Enter to the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter to the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You weak and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scatter no seed. Then you ought to have invest my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent. What is it? So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glory, on his glorious throne. Amen.
Amen. Awesome. That's great. Thank you, Marie. Well, we're in a series called Identity in Christ, where we're talking about some things that should identify us as followers of Christ. What are some things that should mark us as a follower of Christ? We've been through a few different things. We've talked about being worshipers. We've talked about being followers. Last week, we talked about being witnesses. And so this week, we're talking about being stewards. What is a steward? A steward is someone that is entrusted with something that he's to manage it. So we've been looking at a property for our church, and we're now dealing with a property manager. If you think about it, that property manager, it's not his property, is it? He doesn't own it, but he manages the property for someone else. He manages it, he takes care of it, he makes sure things are as they should be for the owner of the property. So as we think about being stewards, it means that we have things that aren't necessarily ours, and we need to be faithful with those. We're to manage them well. This topic, it gets at a really big issue today. It's not stewardship. What does that connect to? Well, it connects to something really big. It connects to, what is your purpose in life? You ever think about that? What is your purpose in life? Do you have a purpose? Maybe as you think about your life in regards to what God is doing in the world, you know, in the Bible, it talks about God's kingdom is coming. Well, if that's the big thing that God is doing in the world, do I have any part to play in that? Is there anything that I have that contributes to what God is doing? Is there anything of significance that I do that is going to matter, not just in this life, but also in the life to come? Well, this passage helps us to understand that. It helps us to understand what God is doing in the world. It also helps us to see that, yes, we do have something. We have a part to play in God's kingdom. We have something to do. He entrusts all his people with gifts, with talents, and talents that they are to prove faithful with, talents that they are to steward for his glory and for the good of other people. So we're looking at that in this passage today. This passage is Jesus is speaking about the end times. He's speaking about when he is going to return one day, and he's telling people what it's going to be like, how they should wait. And in this passage, instruction is given for how you can faithfully steward what God has given to you. It helps you to see that he has a purpose for you, and it helps you to see how you can steward those gifts. So we're going to go through and look at this and see how we all have work of significance to do. You may feel like, well, hey, you know, I manage a small business. You know, if I had something really important to do, you know, it would be a big business. I'd be like Elon Musk, right? Elon Musk has, man, he's got some work of significance to do, but me, I'm just a lowly old office manager. Or you may say, well, man, to have an effect on what God's doing in the world, I feel like I should be a pastor or missionary. That's kind of a common way of thinking, right? That if I'm going to do something of significance, I need to quit my real estate job and go do missions over in China. Maybe become a priest. People have thought that at different times. Well, what we see in this passage is that God gives gifts to his people that enables all of them to do work that is significant, enables all of them to do work that honors him, and even invites them into the shaping of his kingdom. It's amazing to see those things. And so we're going to go through and talk about these in more detail. So first thing that I want to talk about that we see in this passage is that each person has a talent to steward. Each person is given a talent to steward. Nobody is left out. Nobody is left holding an empty bag, right? It's not like it's Christmas time and, hey, everybody got gifts, but not me. No, everybody receives gifts. Everybody receives a measure of talents. You know, in this passage, a talent back in the time of Jesus speaking this, a talent was a measure of weight. It was a measure of weight that was equal to about 130 pounds. And a lot of times it was used to talk about a talent of gold or silver. So if you're talking about a talent of gold, that is a significant amount of money. One talent, just based on my calculation of a talent being 130 pounds, 16 ounces in a pound, you do the multiplication, one talent would be about $3 million. And so he's entrusting talents to his people. He's giving gifts. All of them receive a talent. Yes, some of them receive different amounts of a talent, but they each receive something. And what we see in life is that there are different giftings. God gives people different gifts. Not everybody has the same gift. He also gives different aptitudes of gifts, right? One may have a measure of one talent, one may have a measure of 10 talents. Different talents, but God is giving gifts to all of his people. We need to see the place of that God gives gifts to all his people. This is something that there is a universal gifting by God. Every person in the world is gifted by God to shape the world. Genesis 1, God calls his people to have dominion in the world. We're to have dominion. In order to have dominion, you have to have an ability to shape things. God gives that to his people. We see that. This passage is highlighting that same thing, that there is a universal calling which every person has gifts given by God, that they are to prove faithful to those gifts. No one is left out. No one is forsaken in this. And that's important to remember, because sometimes we can go through seasons. Maybe you're in a place in life right now where you just feel like you have no purpose. Part of finding your purpose is finding, well, what has God gifted you to do? You find out what he's gifted you to do, you start to find your purpose in the world. And it's not as though God just gives you one gift and that's the only thing that you're able to do. Hey, God gifted me to design computers, that's all I do. Sorry, babe, I can't take out the trash. I'm only gifted to design computers, right? No, he gives us different gifts so that we can do a variety of roles. And in different seasons, he may call us to use different gifts. But we all have gifts. No one is without. We can't say, hey, I don't have something. Well, and I also think it's important to say that, you know, sometimes we can look at our particular gifting. Oh, man, you know, I'm a gifted speaker, but man, I'm not as gifted as that guy over there. And then you can start to feel like, well, hey, maybe I'm not good enough. I'm not this enough. You start to feel like, God, do you have a purpose for me? You know, we can always compare ourselves to the YouTube superstar, right? And see all the attention that they're getting and think, well, you know, hey, I'm a singer, but I'm not that gifted. You can start to feel like maybe you're a misfit, right? Like maybe God just, you know, yes, he gifted me, but not the right way. We need to see God's hand. He gives a variety of gifts to his people, a variety of mixes of gifts to his people. So there's no such thing as a misfit. God gives gifts to everybody, and they were to steward them. You know, I was thinking about that, and you guys remember the old Christmas, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? You know, it's the old, what do they call that, the stop-motion video? I used to hate that when I was little. I hated that show. And then I grew up, and I was like, hey, I kind of like this. But there's one scene in it where he's talking about, you know, Rudolph has a red nose, and he feels like a misfit. And there's the island of misfit toys. You guys remember that? There's not a Jack-in-the-Box. There's a, anybody remember? Charlie in a Box. You got it. That's right. There's a boat that doesn't float. There's a, oh, what was the other? It was a cowboy who rides an ostrich. You know, I think we have a picture of that up here. Do we have the picture? Yeah, we got these guys. And, you know, what it is that when a toy that no little boy or girl wants or loves, they are taken to this place. They're the misfits. They've kind of missed their purpose in life. You know, we have to see that in God's design, he designs us and gives us gifts that enables us to honor him. We can steward those to honor him and glorify him. There's no such thing as misfits. There's no such things as just a this or just a that. No. You're designed by God with a good purpose. We have to remember that. Now, I also want to say that as we talk about that, there is a place that we have to make sure that we are using the gifts God has given us for his purposes. Because sometimes we can feel like a misfit because we're not using the gifts that he's given us in a way that honors him. You know, if you think about a bike, think about a street bike. Anybody ride a street bike? Ride a bike on the street? You know, it has the thin tires. You know, I'm talking about like the bike you pedal, not the ones with the motor, but just a little, you know, bike that your kids would ride. What happens when you take that bike into the sand at the beach? Those thin little tires just sink right into the sand, and it doesn't move. And if you try and ride that bike, it's going to be extremely frustrating. It's going to be painful. You're going to get sore. You're going to keep falling off, not get enough speed to stay on balance. The reason for that is you're going against the purpose that bike was designed for, right? That bike was designed to ride on the road. And when you go off-road, when you go mountain bike riding on that street bike, those tires can't handle it. They weren't designed for that. And sometimes we can feel like a misfit and question God, how he's gifted us. A lot of times we have to ask ourselves, God, am I using my gifts for the purposes you have for me? That was a lot of my struggle in life before I became a Christian. I'd look at the relationships that I had. God, why do these relationships keep falling apart? Questioning him. Proverbs says, a fool's own folly brings him to ruin, and yet his heart rages against the Lord. That was me. I wasn't doing the things that God was calling. God called me to go through relationships in a different way. I wasn't doing that. I was getting frustrated and hurt, and I was questioning him. We've got to make sure, are we honoring God with the gifts that he has given to us? He's given us all gifts. We all have those to steward. Are we honoring him with it? We're all called to do that. We can't say we're misfits. We also have to see in this that we can't say that there's just this some work that is sacred with a special purpose, and there's some work that is non-sacred and has no special purpose. If we're honoring the Lord, it means everything that we do can be done for him. Everything can be done for him in his glory. So, you know, one of the things that people will talk about in this issue is in the Middle Ages, there was a big divide. If you wanted to do work that really honored God, then you just needed to quit being a farmer, you needed to quit being a cobbler, and you need to go become a priest in a monastery, and that's where work of significance gets done. And that was kind of the thinking that was going on in the Middle Ages. And one of the great changes with the Reformation, there were a number of changes that happened with that. But one of the big changes was what they called the doctrine of the priesthood of all believers. It's that if you are in Christ, you're a priest. If you're in Christ, you have good news to share with people. In Christ, you have something to take to others. Whatever you do can be done to be a blessing to others. So there's not this big divide that, hey, if you want to advance God's kingdom, hey, just go become a priest or go become a missionary. No, God invests every job with meaning and significance. If you can honor him with it, then that is good work. That is sacred work. One of the great thinkers on this was William Tyndale. This quote, I'll read it from him. He's talking about how if it can be done to honor God, then it's significant. It's sacred. It's special. He said this. He said, there's no work better than to please God. How about that? There's no work better than to please God. If you can please God in your work, man, that's your goal. You want to honor him. So there's no work better than to please God. To pour water, to wash dishes, to be a cobbler or an apostle, all are one. To wash dishes and to preach are all one. As touching to please God, there is no difference. Isn't that powerful? What he's saying is you can preach the gospel or you can go be a cobbler. If you're doing it to the glory of God, that's our greatest goal. That is our goal in life, is to honor him. And so it just opens up this vista of opportunities that we have to honor God with the gifts that he's given to us. So you may be a cobbler. Maybe you're a woodworker. Maybe you are a computer engineer or a billionaire entrepreneur. Your goal in life is to honor God. And if that's your goal, you can do it through all of those. This, it invests significance in everything that we do. Everything that we do. Kids, if you're in fifth grade and you're thinking, well, what is my, right now your purpose is, yes, is to get through math. And it's to go out and to play tag in the yard and do it to the glory of God, to honor him, to care for others. Another great thinker in the Reformation was William Perkins. And he basically said, our calling to honor God is twofold. We want to honor God and we want to use our gifts to serve other people. So you want to think about that. God has given you gifts, so how do you steward those to the glory of God and to the good of other people? Second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. How are you loving God through playing tag in the backyard? How are you loving God and loving others by designing cybersecurity? How are you doing that by being an electrician or a roofer or whatever else it may be? It forces us to think through that, and it forces us to realize that God has a purpose for me. I don't need to be Elon Musk. I need to be me. I need to be who God has created me to be, how he's gifted me. And if I'm doing that, then that's the greatest thing that I can do. I want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. And so what we see in this passage is that everybody is gifted. Everybody is gifted by God to do something, to shape the world. Also remember, this passage is about furthering his kingdom. So it means that whatever you're doing, you have an opportunity to further his kingdom. And so we're all gifted. And the second thing to see in this is that we're to prove faithful. We're to prove faithful. It's a really neat word there. Doesn't say perfect, does it? Didn't say well done, good and perfect servant. It said well done, good and faithful. We've got to be faithful. Don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be a perfect mom. You don't have to be a perfect employee. You don't have to be a perfect pastor. You don't have to be a perfect fifth grader. Just be faithful. You got to be faithful. You're going to be inadequate. You're going to mess up, but you got to be faithful. You got to be faithful. And one of the things that we also have to see is that our gifts aren't primarily for our own personal fulfillment. There is an element of that, but we also have to see that what's most important is divine faithfulness. Typically, we find personal fulfillment when we get the bigger things in line. When we start seeing that, God, I'm being faithful to you, you start to have a different fulfillment in that. When you are lined up with what God is calling you to do, there's a fulfillment that we find in that. There's a harmony when we are using our gifts for God's purposes. There's a peace that comes in that, isn't there? that we do our work and there's a satisfaction, there's a contentment. We begin to be free from anxiety. We get freed up from worry. God, I want to honor you. If I'm honoring you, I'm going to trust you with everything else. We simply need to be faithful with what is given to us. You know, there's something of this that it kind of elevates all of work, right? We start to see that everything can be done for him, so I want to be faithful. So it may seem an insignificant task to take the trash out on Wednesday night, but hey, I want to do it to the glory of God. I want to honor him. It raises that. It invests it with meaning. It also keeps us from getting proud, right? Because you start to see, you know, hey, you're a billionaire entrepreneur. Hey, that's fantastic. But you're just stewarding God's gifts. You're going to have to give an account to him one day. Have you been faithful? So there's a humility that it brings. Hey, it's not ultimately me. It's not my greatness. I'm just trying to be faithful with what God has given to us. So we have to learn to be faithful. We have to learn to use our gifts for the glory of God and the good of other people. 1 Peter 4:9 talks about as each has received a gift, let them use it to administer God's grace. You think about that. What it's saying is that as you have received a gift, now you can use that gift to serve other people, and that as they experience you using that gift, they encounter the grace of God. That's amazing. It's amazing to think about that you being given a gift can allow someone else to encounter the grace of God. It may not seem like a big deal, but you break a leg and you need to get that fixed. Well, you go to a doctor who's been trained to do things and he sets your leg straight. You have encountered the grace of God. Maybe you have plumbing issues in the house. Not my favorite thing to have going on. I need somebody. I need somebody to come in and help get that figured out. They come in and do it. You have experienced the grace of God. This week, me and Amanda celebrated 21 years of marriage. How do you celebrate? You go out to eat. We went out to eat, had a great meal. And just, you're sitting there, you're eating. You're just thinking, man, this is a great time. Our time together, it's enhanced because we're having a good meal together. You have somebody that has blessed you with the gift, their ability to cook. And we're encountering God's grace. It's neat to see. It's neat to think about how God can use us to shape others, to help others encounter his grace. We want to be faithful to that, right? We want to be faithful to be used by God, be faithful to other people. So let me give you a few different things that you can prove faithful with. And as we think about trying to be used by God, here's a few things. First thing to think about what to prove faithful with, the first thing is your talent, right? Talent. You're like, well, I don't have 130 pounds of gold. wish I had that sitting around the house, right? You know, hey, let me go grab some of my talent. Well, it's interesting how Jesus Christ is such a pivotal figure in the history of the world. And this word begins to be used in very different ways, doesn't it? Was a weight. And now we use it to talk about our skills and ability. Well, that's one of the things that we see here, that as we want to prove faithful, we want to prove faithful with the talent, the skills, the ability that God has given to us. If it's the ability to program, be faithful with programming. If it's the ability to sing, sing. If it's the ability to administrate, then administrate. If it's the ability to lead, then lead. All these different gifts God gives to his people, that's talent. And everyone has talent of some kind. And he's calling you to use that to shape the world, to bless other people, to administer God's grace in its various forms. He calls you to be faithful to do that. And so you have to ask the question, are you using your talent for God's glory? Are you using your talent for God's glory, or do you go into the workplace completely clueless on how God might use you there? We've got to train ourselves. We've got to think about our workplaces. We've got to think about what God has given us and think, if Jesus Christ were to turn right now, would I hear, well done, good and faithful servant? Or am I squandering my gifts? We want to be faithful with the talent he's given to us. Another, your talent, your treasure. Your treasure. Talent is used as a sum of money. Clearly in this passage, money is being invested and they're being corrected for not investing their money. So think about your treasures. Can be money. Probably have some other treasures in the house. How are you stewarding that for God's glory? Maybe it's your house. Maybe that's your treasure. Are you using those things for your own personal fulfillment or for God's purposes? Are you using them to advance His kingdom? Causes us to think differently about everything that we own, everything that we have. Your kids, you treasure them, but they're not just yours, are they? You're stewarding them. They're a gift given to you by God to steward. One day they're going to move out. You'll look back, hey, was I faithful to you, Lord? Our talent, our treasure, another thing is our time. How do we steward our time? All those things that limit us, our treasures, our money, our time. Are we stewarding that to God's glory? The unfaithful servant, he wasted his talent. He wasted his time. Time is such a precious commodity. We want to make sure that we're doing that. Another thing to talk about being faithful with is teaching. The talent, our treasure, our time, our teaching. You may say, well, hey, what teaching? I'm talking about Scripture, God's Word. It's in Christ, we know the gospel. In Jesus, we can be saved from all the things that we've done wrong. How are we at stewarding that? Who have you shared with recently? Who have you encouraged recently? Are we stewarding the gift of God's Word and encouraging one another with that, spurring one another on, sharing the gospel with those who don't know the gospel, maybe sharing the gospel with those who know it and need to hear it again? We all have those times where we're struggling, we're discouraged, and we need somebody to come alongside us to encourage us. Are we doing that? Are we being faithful to steward God's Word? This is where we need church, because we need to be rewired in how we think, right? We need to be rewired to realize, hey, my house, it's not my own. It's a gift by God. I want to steward it well. My work, it's not just for me. It's for God. It's for His glory. And I want to look for opportunities to be able to advance His kingdom in my neighborhood and in my workplace and all of these things. And this can be a powerful way that just infuses meaning into all that we do. I had a guy that had an influence on me in college. I was a poor, broke college student, and our college ministry would take this spring break trip each year. And we didn't have any money, and so this guy, he was a commercial real estate guy, and he would hire some students to come out and do work on his lawn. On his farm. And so we would go out, and we'd work like 4 or 5 hours, and then he would cover the whole trip. I never had money, so I always had to go to his house, and we loved going there. He was a great guy. Big house, big property, and I just got talking to him one day. I was like, hey, how did you end up, he wasn't that old, so I was like, how did all this happen? And he just looked at me, he said, you know what, I grew up and I thought, if I'm going to do anything of significance, I've got to go into ministry. And I went into ministry. He's like, it was hard for me to see, but I was terrible at it. I was not any good, and I got fired for being a youth pastor. He's like, I didn't do anything bad, it just, nothing was really good. And so they had to come to me and they put their arm around me and said, hey buddy, we really appreciate you, but we think God has other plans in store for you. He said, I was depressed for 6 months. I had no idea. And a friend just said, hey, come and work for me for a little bit. And so he went and worked for him. And he just said, I didn't understand it, but I just felt like I had the gift of closing deals, of seeing what people needed and matching those up. He's like, I just realized I have a gift of making money. And he started going through and talking about all the things that he'd done. He's like, you know, this house, it's not mine. It's the Lord's. Whole church meets here twice a year. His whole church would come out, meet in his house, do a big bonfire. He talked about the things that he was able to give to. He's like, I'm able to give to, I think he was supporting like 3 full-time missionaries and just doing all this stuff. And he also said, you know, in the workplace, everybody knows that I'm a person of integrity, that I'm not going to lie, I'm not going to cheat. Some people don't like me for it. But you know what? Whenever they need someone, they always come to me. And it was just such a neat picture of a guy who ended up in a field of work that he didn't think there was really any meaning or significance there. Didn't think God would ever use him. And as he began to understand his gifts, as he began to understand how God had wired him and God's call on not just on his life, but what he calls people to do, he started to see that there was all this meaning and significance in his work, that he could serve and help people by getting the right property for their needs. And it just opened up his life, and he began to be excited. Went from being a depressed, fired worker to someone who is excited about how God has gifted him and how God might use him. And that's what this can do in your life. You can start to see the significance of how God has gifted you and how he might use you in the world. And we're called to be faithful. We're called to get on board with what God is doing in the world. We're called to get on board and be faithful with what he calls us to. Last thing to see in this passage is that we'll each give an account. We've got to talk about that. You know, it'd be fun to just stay in this, you know, kind of neat realm of just how God has gifted us and wired us. But, you know, Isabella mentioned earlier, we've got to teach God's word and go through it. And yes, there are some encouraging things, but there's also the sobering aspect that God is going to hold us accountable. He's given you a gift. He's going to hold you accountable. You see that in the end. Verse 19, it says, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. It means that there was this time of reckoning. The one who was faithful received this well done, good and faithful servant. That is so neat to hear. He's told to enter into the joy of his master. Just think about that. He's been working for this master whom he loves, who's been away for a long time, and the master comes back and he enters into his joy. You know, just another person to highlight, Eric Liddell. He was a famous Olympic runner in the, I believe, the 1920s. And he was a Christian, a devout Christian, and he ran. And there's a great movie about him, Chariots of Fire. It's old. It's a little bit dated. But he talked about how God had gifted him to run. And he said, God has gifted me. Let me read this. He said, I believe God made me for a purpose, but he also made me fast. And he said this, when I run, I feel his pleasure. So neat to think about that. When he does the thing that he feels God has gifted him to do, he feels God's pleasure. There's a joy in that. When you feel that you're doing the things God has called you to do, there's a joy, there's a peace, there's a pleasure in it. You feel a little bit of that now. And how much more so when Jesus returns and we're in his presence, we enter into the joy of our master. Been through a lot of hardships running. Maybe you got a lot of cramps, a lot of injuries, but you've been faithful. Enter into the joy of your master. Not because you were perfect, but because you were faithful. Faithful to him. Part of being faithful, it means we own our mistakes. You're not perfect. You mess up. Because of Jesus, we can own our mistakes. We can own up when, hey, told you I was going to do this. I got a little scared because I couldn't do it. I lied. I said I would do it. I couldn't do it. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? It's part of being faithful. You're not perfect. You're going to have those ups and downs. Maybe you're a mom and you said, man, I'm going to be the perfect mom. And then you got three kids running around and you just don't know where all this anger came from, right? Like, oh, where's it coming from? You're not going to be perfect. Be faithful. Can confess your sins. It's part of being faithful. So we recognize our need for the gospel. We share our own inadequacies with other people. We can own that. We can be faithful to own those things because of what Jesus has done. But there's also another side that we see here for those who have not been faithful. He says to the wicked and lazy servant, calls him wicked, calls him lazy. He lacked any ambition to go and do something with the gifts that his master had given to him. And Jesus is telling us that we need to make sure that we wait on the kingdom, that we are faithful. We're faithful. We keep looking to him. We keep going after his purposes. We don't give up. We don't stop. We don't get lazy. We've got to keep going after that. Fear of other things crept into this servant's life and kept him from being faithful. We've got to make sure that we don't let fear of other things become greater than our love and fear of God. We want to be faithful to him. The thing that we most want to do in life is to please him, to live for him. In the end, it said that to cast this worthless servant out. Cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It reminds us that yes, it is good news to hear how God has gifted us and enables us, but it's also, you know, the old saying in management, people don't do what you expect, they do what you inspect. Hey, how come my kids didn't do what I asked them to do? Well, they never do what you expect, they do what you inspect. And there's going to be a great inspection one day where we stand before God and we give an account of how have we used the gifts that he's given to us. We may see other people in life do things that are wrong and we think, how could they do that? How could they treat that person like that? How could they misuse their gifts in this way or that way? And we have to ask ourselves, are we being faithful with what God has given to us? Are we being faithful to use our talent to honor him, to use our treasure to honor him, to use our time, to use the teaching that he's given to us to honor him? We've got to prove faithful to those things. You know, I was thinking about this, and recently I started playing tennis a few years ago. Any tennis players? Any? Couple? Reluctant ones? I never played tennis, so I just started getting into it. I thought it's a great game now that I can't play basketball and football anymore. I'm too old for that. Friend was like, hey, that's a great old man's game. I was like, I'll own it. I guess I'm getting old now. But another friend got into it about the same time and really enjoyed it as well. And it was neat to see him get into it because he started to realize, man, I love this sport. I want to understand it more. Gets on, you know, starts reading about it. Starts reading how tennis came about, how they came up with this crazy scoring and all these other things. He decides he needs a new racket. So like everybody else, he creates a spreadsheet, gets all the pros and cons. You know, people who buy things like that, you do all this research to try and figure out what is the perfect thing for me. He started studying. He started learning, started applying himself to try and figure out, I want to be as good at this sport as I can. It's amazing how we can pursue hobbies with such tenacity, right? With such steam and energy. How are we pursuing God? How are you pursuing him? How are you going after your ability to share his word with other people? Are you being sharpened in that? How about using your time and talent? Part of coming to faith and following Christ means that we are pursuing him. We're looking to him. We're being shaped by him. We want to honor him, and we're being proactive. We're not being lazy. We recognize that he's been raised. He's resurrected. I want to live my whole life for him. He's got good work for me to do in this life. I want to be faithful to do that. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this passage and how we see that you have gifted all of us with good gifts. And we want to be faithful to use those, Lord. And I just pray that you'd light a fire in us, God, that we would want to pursue you and know you. And that we'd want to hear more than anything, the day we stand before you, well done, good and faithful servant. God, I pray that we just push aside our laziness, our fear that would keep us from serving you. Help us to push those aside and help us to honor you. And God, I just pray that we'd be a place, a community that we can encourage people where we see them using their gifts, that we can encourage them where we see their gifts and we tell them. And we see how their gifts are being a blessing to others. God, help us to encourage one another, lift one another up. Help us to push aside being lazy and fearful. And help us to be found good and faithful servants, Lord. We thank you that because of Jesus' resurrection, we have hope that we can be forgiven for all our mistakes. And that we have new life in him. God, we want to celebrate what you've done and all that we do. We thank you for this. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.